Okay, we're going to be looking at the theme that we've been looking at this morning is John 14:6. It's Jesus' words. And let's just turn to that passage again, John 14. Let's read it in its context from the beginning of the chapter. Before we do, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that we can gather here today to worship you, to honour you. Father, we thank you that we can do that because of your Son. Thank you that we all drink from the same Spirit. So we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come this morning, speak to us with your words, words that you've given us, to teach us, to encourage us, to correct us, to give us direction, give us hope. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come right now and do that very thing. You would speak to us through your word. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So start at the beginning of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? So this is why Jesus responds with this scripture, this particular verse here, which for me is probably, I'd say, in my top 10. I don't know if it's my favourite scripture, but it's definitely in the top 10 of scriptures. And as we unpack it, I think you'll see the reason why, because it has so much in it. There's so much to this one line, in fact. So Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember what Thomas was asking was, where are you going? And Jesus responds with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's five definite elements to this. A sixth one, which I'll mention as well. And the first element, the first part of Jesus' statement is, I am. And I am is something that we've heard in the Old Testament. It's when Moses was out in the fields tending to the sheep, and suddenly his attention is turned towards this burning bush. He goes to the burning bush, and there's a voice that comes from the bush and speaks to him. It's the voice of God. But Moses, not having all the stuff like we have, like a Bible and history, doesn't really know who this person is speaking to him from the bush. And the person identifies themselves as I am. That is the name that God chooses at that time to identify himself as to Moses. And here Jesus is saying, I am. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus is just referring to himself. It's just part of the structure of the sentence that he says, I am the way, the truth, life. But I believe this is because he's making the statement that I am. Is that I am God. And every time we seek God, it must start with God, mustn't it? If we're to find God, it's because we know there's a God. And often, when I speak to people in the world, people at work, and friends and stuff, the main kind of conversation that we stay on is, well, is there a God? Well, if you can convince them, not that you can convince them, but if they can believe there's a God, then we've got a starting point. And Jesus here is saying that I am God. God is the great I am. He is the creator, the one who was and who is and is to come. He is the everlasting God. And he's the redeemer. He's kind of, you think of him as the creator, he's the beginning of all things. And the redeemer is the end of all sin and all suffering and all disease. Now, in the beginning, when God created man, he created it perfectly. He created the earth, the 6 days of creation, created everything. And he said, after each day of creation, he said, it is good. And there was everything there that was perfect. There was nothing. There was no death. There was no sin. There was no suffering, no bloodshed. That only came along when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So you see, God is the creator, but then I don't really think that God had a moment when he went, oh no, I didn't expect this to happen. No, it was always in God's plan to send his son, the one who he would redeem the world through. So that's what we're looking at in this passage. That's the next point, which is the way. Now you could say about the first point, I am, is the who. You know, if you're looking at it as five questions, I am the way, the truth, the life. You'd see it as five questions of what they mean. You know, I mean, for me, when I read this passage, I think this is why it's one of my favourites, because it causes me to ask questions, and I think most scripture does that for us. You know, you can read one line of scripture, and if you meditate on it enough, it will produce questions, and you'll ask those questions, and that's the idea. The Word of God is there for us to dialogue with God. It's not just there for us to read, take the information in, and then go on to the next verse. It's there for dialogue, and this is a great scripture, John 14:6, for dialoguing with God. So I'm asking the question, I am, but who are you? Who is I am? And the next point, the way. Well, which way? You know, so the first question is who, the second question is which, and then when we get on to the truth, it's what. What is the truth? Jesus was asked that very question by Pontius Pilate. What is truth? And then when we get on to the life, we say, how? How is life? How is Jesus the life? How does God give life? And number five, I said there were five of them. It's not up there in that scripture, but the scripture goes on. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's the where, it's the destination. And that really is what Jesus is doing. He's answering the question that Thomas asked him. And when he says, we don't know the way. Well, Jesus says the way ultimately leads to the Father. You know, we have lots and lots of teaching about who Jesus is. But ultimately what Jesus is the vehicle, is the way to the Father. He is the fullness. As it says in, I think it's the beginning of Colossians, he says, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Isn't that amazing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can all be seen in one person, one man, fully man, yet fully God, who is able to emanate, is able to bring light, and he's able to open our eyes to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just want to get this slide on now to show you what, if Steve don't mind pressing the first thing. Yeah, so we've got a triangle there. Nothing much, just a triangle. But the triangle has got 3 points. So 3 suggests Trinity. And the first one that we see is life. And I've got that at the top, because if we think of the Trinity, the Father God, he's the one that provides, he's the one that gives life. And then you just, if you won't mind clicking it again, Steve. Then we have the way. Now the way, I would attribute to the Son. because the Son is the way that we are able to reach the Father. He's the way to the Father. And the next one. Truth. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says not long after this particular John 14:6, a few verses later, in verse 17, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. As Jesus is saying that, he's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So the Father is the giver of life. Jesus is the way, is the means, and the Holy Spirit is the truth. He's the one that reveals it all to us. I think it's great, and I think what I like to do with that again is sort of put it into another analogy, and thinking of the fact that where we are in the time of the year, we're coming to the end of the year, and soon the new year will be upon us. And you know, we've all got a different plan and different purpose, haven't we, that God's given us. And how we don't know that plan and purpose always. We can get a few signs and we can get a few hints from God about that. But I am the way, the truth and the life, Jesus said. Means that we can know the way. We can know the truth and we can know the life. And really that is sufficient for us. That's enough. That is enough for us to be able to get through this next year, to be able to live according to the plan that God has given us. I sort of see the word, the way, as more like a map. And I see the word truth as more like the compass, and the life as the sails, or the wind that's in the sails, and the map. Well, a map, or if you were thinking of a ship on the sea, a nautical chart, is the way that you would plot a course. And each one of us, we've been given a course. And I don't know where each one of us are this morning, but you know, the start of a year is always a time when we make new resolutions, isn't it? It's the time when we begin to rethink about where we are and about where we'd like to be and where we'd like to be going. And Jesus knew where he'd come from. Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus knew where he was going. So it's so important that we look to Jesus at the beginning of the year, because he is the way, the truth and the life. And so a nautical chart, like I say, is like the source, the course that we're on. But the source of where that map comes from has been made by others who have had to go out there without a map in the first place. I was reading recently about David Livingstone and his journeys in Africa. And he started a journey on the River Nile. And he was a missionary. His purpose really for the journey was exploration, but his main purpose, he was a missionary, and he wanted to reach the unreached people. And so he started his journey on the Nile and continued his journey on the Nile. Thought he was still on the Nile, but actually ended up in the Zambezi River and ended up discovering one of the amazing places of the world, Victoria Falls. And so since then, in the Victorian times, they were able to create new maps in Africa and new routes, because he had the courage to step out and walk and keep walking. He was following a river, and that really cannot all it needs to be. It could just be, well, I'm on this course now and I just need to keep walking. So for anyone this morning who feels like they've not got revelation of where God wants to take them in this next year, or they just feel that you know, God's not speaking to them or anything. Just stay on the course. I think that's the main thing we should do, is to stay on the course. You know, God never calls us out of something until there's something to call us into. I remember when I first became a Christian, coming to see one of the elders at the church. I think it was Malcolm, actually. And saying, I feel like God's calling me into a different job. And he said, well, do you know what he's calling you into? And I said, not really. And he said, well, God won't call you out of the one you're in until you know what you're going into. I mean, that's not per se for everybody, but it's good advice when we don't really know, we're not really sure what God's calling us into. And so we have a map, and our map, everything's in this map here, this what we call the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus is our forerunner. He has paved the way for us. He is the way. He is the map. He is the chart. Whenever we don't understand where life's going, we come back to Jesus. He is the way. I don't know if anybody uses sat-navs. I started using sat-navs in the last couple of years. I don't use it all the time, but for the job I have, I get sent to different places around Manchester, mainly around the Greater Manchester area. And most of the time, I'll go, oh yeah, I know where that is. And sometimes I'll pick up an address and I'll have to look it up in my A to Z, because I've got an idea by the postcode that I know at least the vicinity of the area where I'm going to. But some of the times I'll pick up a postcode I don't recognise or I'm not familiar with, and that's when I get the sat-nav out. And I'll put the postcode in and basically follow the instructions. And really, all I'm doing there is I'm trusting in a piece of technology to get me from A to B. And often, it's not so much the fact that I don't really know where I'm going to, I don't really know where I'm leaving as well, because I could have been working in a place that I'm not familiar with and get sent to another place I'm not familiar with. So really, I'm trusting this sat-nav to get me from somewhere I don't know to somewhere else I don't know. But that's the technology that we have today. And really, you know, if David Livingstone would have had something like that, I don't think he might not have found Victoria Falls. He might have ended up on the Zambezi River. So what I'm trying to say is here, and you follow where I'm going with this, that the way is about faith as well. Jesus, in fact, it wasn't Jesus, it was Paul that said this in the book of Romans. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the word that we start with. Faith comes by hearing. We start with the word. And if Jesus is the way, he's also the word. As it was briefly read out by Harold before, John 1 talks about how Jesus became flesh. It was the word that became flesh. The Father spoke in the beginning of creation, and it was the word that created. Jesus is the word. So we need to come back to the word. We need to hear the word, and we need to act upon the word. That's the way. So let's move on to the truth. As I briefly said before, I think the truth is more like the compass. I had a look at what a compass is all about. Basically, it's just a magnet, or it responds to magnetic fields, the poles. And I wonder how long a compass has been around. Well, the compass, they don't really know how long it's been around, but they guess it was around somewhere like the 10th century, and the Chinese probably invented it. And it was a very crude version of a compass. And nevertheless, it was used. And before the compass, what did they use? Well, they probably used the stars or the landmarks at sea. Probably used routes that others had charted, but what did they use, the ones that charted the routes? You see, the good thing about having a compass is true, because a compass will always show you where north is, it will always show you where south is, and east and west. Because the poles are always there. The poles won't move. The North Pole and the South Pole. I was thinking about James Scott and his expedition to the South Pole. And most of the time when they were travelling, they were in a whiteout. You know what a whiteout is, don't you, where you completely can't see anything. And it's just snow. And there's not really any horizon to follow as well, because you can't see it. And they relied on compasses. They relied on previous routes that others had made. And they made it to the South Pole. Unfortunately, they made it there later than Amundsen. And Amundsen returned home alive, and Scott and his team all died. But they made it. They reached the goal. So truth is important in knowing that we're on the right course. Okay? We have the way. We know what the way is. When we get on the way, we need the truth to make sure we stay on course. Now the life, I would say that is the sails of the ship. Most ships back in the day were driven or powered by either human brawn strength, which was with oars, or by the wind. And it was a real skill to be able to sail a ship if you wanted to go in that direction, but the wind was blowing in that direction, then you would have to adjust the sails. And it was all about knowing how to do that. But ultimately, they weren't making that ship move. It was the wind that was blowing into the sails. Isn't it the same with us? Jesus said in chapter 3 of John, he said, well, let's have a look at it. That we were, if we're to be born again, let's read it from verse 5, chapter 3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is likening the Holy Spirit there to a wind. And we don't know where he blows from. But we receive, we harness the Holy Spirit. We've been given a body, a temple of the Holy Spirit, haven't we? But we don't dictate what the Spirit does. The Spirit is the one who guides and leads us. And so we're the sails, and the life, just as God breathed life into Adam, the breath of life was breathed into Adam, it says in Genesis. Just as God breathed life, we need the breath of God. So we looked at so far the I am. That Jesus is making a claim there. That he is the only one. He is the only true God. The way, that he's the way. That he's the chart. He's the map. He's our course. And the truth. That we won't go off course because he is the truth and the life, because the Father breathes life into us, just like the wind is blown into the sails. I like what it says in Song of Songs, chapter 4. It says, come, O north wind, come, O south wind, blow upon my garden. And it says later on that the spices would flow out of the garden. I really like that, because it's a picture of all the goodness that God puts in us flowing out. Spices were also riches as well in the ancient world, that they travelled all over the world to trade spices. keeping with the theme of explorers, you see. There's a couple of explorers in looking at this that I discovered. Christopher Columbus and Vasco da Gama were about the same time, the 1490s. They both had a plan, or they were given the task of finding the India, or the Indias, and Christopher Columbus ended up sailing the wrong direction, landing in probably around somewhere at Cuba in America, and calling the people there Indians. Vasco da Gama sailed the opposite direction. He went around the Cape of Good Hope, ended up finding India itself, and trading with the people in Calcutta. And there's two different people there that one went on the same mission, but one reached the goal which was intended. I don't know what really went on with Christopher Columbus, why he ended up in the wrong direction, but there was a lot of talk at the time of the earth being flat. So I think it became more of a challenge for him with the flat earth believers that, you know, he could sail to the Indies in that direction rather than in that direction, which was probably more of a safe bet to go in that direction around the Cape of Good Hope, which is the tip of Africa. But he decided that he was going to go in the other direction. And I think it was to prove a point, and ended up finding another land, not India, but another land nevertheless. And he's been the one who's been attributed to finding America, when really it wasn't really him anyway. It was Leif Erikson, probably, I think it was 11th century, a good few years before, a Viking explorer. And so, what did he achieve really? He went out to prove a point, and you know, whereas Vasco da Gama went out to reach the goal. And you know, what we're doing with our lives, you know, at the beginning of this year, we should be asking God what the goal is, and asking us how to reach the goal. What's the plan and what's the purpose, God? What do you want? What do you want me to do this year? And not to just, you know, prove a point, not to say, you know, hey, I've got this gift and I can use it, or you know, hey, I want to prove myself that you know, I can be a worship leader, or I can be a speaker, or you know, I can work in this ministry. No, it's about God. What do you want? What is the goal where you want me to go to? Give me the course as I need it, God. So what we see in John 14:6 is that Jesus is pointing the way. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, and the answers would come from asking and seeking and knocking. The door will be open to you, Jesus said. The truth is really the answers and the evidence, isn't it? I was thinking about truth, looking at all of this. I think the most fascinating part of it is the truth. Because Jesus said, you as well, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I think we're in a world at the moment, in this current age that we're in, this generation, where truth is being contended. What do I mean by that? Well, there's debates on TV, there's about, you know, homosexuality, for example, abortion. But other debates as well. People like Richard Dawkins are bringing out his books and speaking on evolution. You know, and he bases his theories on another man's theories, somebody called Darwin. And really, I mean, where does this truth come from? What is truth? You could ask again, what is truth? The word science, I had to look up that, what that means. It basically means knowledge. It comes from a Latin word, scientia, which basically means knowledge. And it's possibly, it says, in the etymology, it says it's possibly derived from a word called scintia. I can't pronounce it, but it basically means to cut or to divide. So I suppose it's like the call my bluff, isn't it, where, you know, who's the one who's really telling the truth and who's the one who's false. It's being able to put the truth alongside and eliminate anything that's not true. Really, that's how scientists work, isn't it? They'll come up with a theory for something, like the theory of relativity, for example. But then later down the line, a few years later, another scientist will say, well, I've got another theory, and it challenges that first theory, relativity. And so then all the scientists start debating them with each other and saying, well, which theory is true? But they won't find the truth, because it's not a truth that derives from anywhere, from anyone. We have a truth that derives from one person. We have a truth that's all the way threaded through this Bible, and that's what we must stick to all the time. You know, the whole thing of evolutionism is something that I think has got me thinking over the last couple of years, especially the fact that I've got two young children, one 6 and one 2, coming up to 3. And there's a point in education where evolutionism is just in everything. It's in the fibres of what's taught to do with geography and history. And it's something that children just take in, because that's what they do, isn't it? That's the idea of school, is to go and be educated and take in what's given to you. But evolutionism is not the truth. It's not based on the Bible. None of it is. It's not based on the Bible. So it's based on a truth. It's based on a knowledge. Remember, the word science just means knowledge. Real truth, the truth that Jesus spoke of, the truth that Jesus is our only way of vision. It was really good we did the song this morning, Helen, on the last song as well, in the worship, Be Thou My Vision. What a great song to sing and think about the year ahead. Be Thou My Vision. Truth gives us vision. Truth opens our eyes. Thinking about Saul on his journey to Damascus, and the very thing that was taken away from him in the physical was his eyesight. And I believe it's because he wasn't ready for the truth. And he'd been given a moment on his journey. I think he fasted as well, didn't he? He was on his journey then. After that, without his sight, he'd been given a moment to think about what was everything that was happening, and the experience he'd just had of meeting Jesus face to face. And so, when he actually believed, when he actually accepted what he had seen was true, he believed this, he received his sight again. And it was prophetic. It was a prophetic message. And I think, what's God speaking? What's God speaking to us? What does God want to show us this morning on our road? On our road to Damascus. Not that we're on a road to Damascus to try and take down believers. But we are on a road nevertheless. And what's he want to speak to us today? Well, the answer is to have our eyes open and our ears open, so we can hear the truth, see the truth. Like I said before, there's a contention for the truth, not just in evolutionism, but in other ways as well. And I said there were 6 points to this particular scripture. Let's count them. I am is one. Way is two. Truth is three. Life is four. Father is five. And the sixth one is this word that we use quite a lot in language. The, or the. It is absolutely integral. It's not just there, you know. Well, it is just there for the grammatical building of the sentence, but it's more than that, I believe. I believe we're in a time where, as truth is contended about who God is, and more to the point, who this person Jesus is, and who he was, how he lived, did he die? If he died, did he really raise from the dead? These kind of questions. What they ultimately lead to is a relegation of Jesus to something less than who he is. And it's important that we see that it says, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way to the Father. He's not our way. He's not one of many ways. He is the way. And don't you think it's great that we believers here this morning know the way? We know the truth. We know the life. And I think on that, knowing that, because that's what knowledge is. Knowledge is produced out of truth, presenting evidence to us, and we accept that as knowledge. And what the people in Kansas are doing at this moment in time, or probably in this moment in time they're sleeping, but this day, they'll be learning more knowledge about Jesus is. So this scripture, to summarize, is telling us more about Jesus. And it's telling us why we should adhere to Jesus, especially at the start of this year. Steve, could you click the rest of those on, please? So the Father brings life, the Son provides the way, and the Holy Spirit brings the truth. Do one more. There he is. That's our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there is so much in your word that we can glean from it. There is so much, Lord, that we can learn from it. Father, there is so much truth. There is so much we learn about the way of Jesus in your word. Because our way is his way. His ways are higher than our ways, and we choose to walk in his ways behind him. So Father, we ask that the beginning of a new year, 2013, that Lord, we would walk on the way of truth, which brings life. Thank you, Father, that, you know, people can say there's going to be disasters, there's going to be the end of the world like it was in 21st of December, which never happened. Lord, because it's not based on truth. Thank you that your truth reigns. And that when you return, Jesus, you are coming back and you will have written on your side, faithful and true. We can trust you. It brings us hope. Father, help us this year, this coming year, to know the way, the truth and the life that brings hope. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Bless you. Good morning to you. And have a nice brew when it comes through. Tea and coffee is coming through in faith.